Hello, and welcome back for another affiliate-focused branch of the UF Care Podcast. These are conversations with early career professionals studying addiction research here at the University of Florida, as well as providing advice and support for those entering the field. My name is Victor. I am a third-year graduate student here in the Department of Clinical Health Psychology, working with Dr. Jeff Boisenot. And today we are joined by Catherine Wright. Catherine is a postdoctoral fellow here at the University of Florida in the Department of Pharmacology and Therapeutics under the mentorship of Dr. Daniel Wesson. Hi, Catherine.
Hey, Victor. How are you?
I am doing quite well today. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just catching up on my week because last week I was away at a neuroscience conference doing science with real people.
Real people. Wow.
Yeah,
not just faces on a screen.
It was amazing.
What was this conference?
It was the Winter Conference on Brain Research in Snowmass, Colorado.
Wow. So Colorado this time of year, it's February as we're recording this. How was that compared to Florida?
Really, really cold. Mm-hmm. Lots of snow.
I bet. thank you for taking the time today to talk with us. We'll be going through the usual slew of questions. You said you've listened to a few of these conversations before, so you kind of know. We'll start by asking you about the work that you're doing here at UF, and then we'll dive into what your past was like, your background, your education, your training, and how you got to do the research that you're doing. And then we'll talk about some next steps and maybe have some advice for folks at the end. How's that sound?
Sounds wonderful.
Cool. So I mentioned that you're a postdoctoral fellow. Anything else that you wanted to share about what you're doing currently?
So the broad focus of my research is understanding how the brain, specifically the ventral striatum, is involved in reward processing and reward seeking. So I use preclinical models to recapitulate aspects of what humans experience who have substance use disorders, but also what normal reward processing and reward seeking looks like.
When you say preclinical models, what do you mean?
So I use predominantly mice where they're experienced with self-administering cocaine or they receive it passively. And so there's a number of behavioral models that I employ to examine different aspects of reward processing. I'm interested in understanding how subregions of the ventral striatum differentially express and process information related to reward and reinforcement. And so the nucleus accumbens is sort of thought of to be this hub of reward circuitry where it receives a lot of dopamine from the midbrain with the ventral tegmental area, but it also gets inputs from the cortical limbic structures, which may carry information related to decision-making or reward-associated memories, what have you. But just ventral to the nucleus accumbens lies this brain structure called the olfactory tubercle, it shares a lot of the same components as the nucleus accumbens, but it's just been vastly understudied. And I think part of that is due to its name because it was named over 100 years ago by an early neuroanatomist.
And as they tend to do.
Yes, you know. it was called the olfactory tubercle because it receives dense innervation from the olfactory bulb. So the structure
does the nose, right? That's smelling.
Right, exactly. So the olfactory bulb receives olfactory input from receptors in the nasal epithelium, and then it gets relayed down to cortical structures. Mm-hmm. So the olfactory tubercle does play an important role in olfaction, but more recent evidence suggests that it also plays an important role in the associative value of different odors and even non-odor stimuli. So I was basically brought on to understand and to better be able to characterize the olfactory tubercle as a reward structure because, like I said, it has similar inputs as the nucleus accumbens, and their cell types are the same too. So within the whole dorsal and ventral striatum, the principal cell type is the medium spiny neuron, which is GABAergic, and they're expressing, they come in two different flavors. So they express dopamine 1 receptor and dopamine 2 receptor. And they're very segregated. So in most cases, they either express one or the other.
Okay. So there's a section of the brain that you study that is associated with like the nose and the sense of smell. And you know, when it was named, it was thought of as just, you know, the smell tube, the olfactory tubercle. But your research is into better understanding that area of the brain as a reward center with all these different neurotransmitters going in and interacting with this area, because it is similar to other sections of the brain that do similar work.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's super cool. And you look at this in mice because humans are harder to poke at.
So I employ a number of fancy techniques to characterize this brain region. I use chemogenetics to selectively inhibit these D1 populations of cells or the D2 expressing populations of cells to see if they have opposing roles in cocaine-related reward behavior, as has been shown in other areas of the ventral striatum, like the nucleus accumbens. Mm-hmm. And I've also, so when I first joined the lab, I sought to understand what these neurons were actually doing. So I recorded neurons from both the accumbens and the olfactory tubercle simultaneously in the same mouse as they were engaged in an operant sucrose taking task. Because the information that is encoded in the activity of these neurons could be processed and sent to relay to other areas of the brain to drive behavior. So,
okay. So you're able to very finely control which of the neurons in this section of the brain are activating through the use of chemicals that can kind of flip them on or off based on their structure.
Correct.
And then you're using that to understand how the mice respond to things like cocaine or sugar and determine like reward processing, what they like, what they don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
That's really cool.
Thanks. Yes. Yeah, it is pretty cool.
So we were talking beforehand, you actually received a grant, you received an award to study this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a 3-year grant and you're on your last year?
Yes. So it's a F32 through the National Institute on Deafness and Other Communication Disorders. So that's the main institute that does smell and taste research. The focus of my proposed research there was to examine how neuroendocrine systems can modulate sort of more naturalistic odor attraction and preference. Okay. So it's not directly related to cocaine addiction or substance use disorders, but by understanding how these systems function on a naturalistic level using ethologically relevant stimuli that's intrinsically rewarding to mice.
Like cheese.
Like cheese.
Right? Yes. Okay. I was totally guessing.
I mean, that's kind of like the go-to, you know. But actually, as far as odors are concerned, mice really love the smell of peanut oil. That's like their favorite thing. But I actually used sociosexual odors. So odors derived from the urine of male and female mice.
Oh, wow.
And I was interested how estrogen within the olfactory tubercle might modulate attraction to these odors.
I can see why you wouldn't do that with humans.
Yeah, it's quite a bit different for humans.
Okay, so how's this research going?
It's going well. I recently just published a paper in Hormones and Behavior looking at the estrogen's effects on odor attraction. And I collaborated with a graduate student in the Wesson Lab, Natalie Johnson, to examine how estrogen in the olfactory tubercle can modulate attraction to these intrinsically rewarding odors. And so we did this by looking at the sniffing frequency of mice, and that's used as a really sensitive readout for how attractive they might find a given odor stimulus. So the same way that humans will take like a really deep breath when they walk by, I don't
Home
know,
Depot.
Home Depot, yeah. The wood, right?
Were you saying a Christmas tree?
I was going to say Krispy Kreme.
Oh, Krispy Kreme. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Something, you know, really like attractive and appetitive. So mice will take, they'll just increase their frequency of sniffing. So they'll do a lot of really fast sniffs to better interact with that environmental stimuli.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm talking about sniffing a lot.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Catherine, how did you find your way to studying the sniff, as no one says, as I just said?
It was unexpected. So when I was looking for a postdoc, I knew I wanted to stay in the realm of reward and motivation, but I also wanted to, I was looking for a way to sort of carve out a niche. And I was really interested in studying the olfactory tubercle because of how understudied it was. It just completely blew my mind when I learned about it. And given that, you know, we all exist in an environment where we're constantly being inundated with sensory cues, and some of them are important and some of them we need to filter out, and they may indicate to us where we would find, you know, reward, or in the case of someone with substance use disorder, it could become a potent trigger for relapse. So I was interested to understand how the sensory component to sort of reward seeking and how behavior is selected and guided.
Yeah. And did this interest start at FSU?
It started at FSU, but it really took off when I started my postdoc with Dan Wesson, who's kind of started his career as an olfactory cortex researcher. So,
okay.
But in grad school, I don't know, should we talk about my past?
Let's dive in. Catherine, okay. Catherine shares all, full expose of your Tallahassee origins.
Oh dear.
Those in Gainesville, cover your ears.
Yeah, right.
Skip ahead. Skip ahead to this time.
Well, let's see. Where should I start? So when I was an undergrad, I did my undergrad at Florida State also. And I was a psychology major because I wanted to become a therapist. I was really interested in human behavior and mental disorders. But then I took a class my junior year on psychopharmacology, and I became just completely fascinated by neurotransmitter systems and how drugs can alter consciousness, how it can change behavior, it can completely flip someone's, like how just their whole identity can change. And so I became really interested to understand the neural correlates of these behavioral changes. So I sought out research. I did an honors thesis where I was examining neuroendocrine control of affective behaviors in postpartum depression models. I looked at how I worked as a lab technician for a few years before I decided to go to grad school and get my PhD in neuroscience. And then in grad school, I studied the epigenetic processes underlying cocaine relapse, and also sex differences involved in ketamine self-administration, and how sex and stress can intersect to augment or increase the risk of drug seeking behavior.
Right. You were kind of on this path. Like this was just, like you said, finding a niche. You had all these different things you were interested in related to, you know, the brain and how genetics and one's environment can influence behavior. And so you kind of found your way to looking at how that influences, you know, reward seeking behavior through this, you know, this olfactory tubule specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That's right. And also I should say that we, because of all of the growing evidence suggesting that the olfactory tubercle is important for reward processing, we're making the push to change the name of the structure to the tubular striatum to emphasize its role within as a striatal circuit. So that's worth saying.
You heard it here first, folks. when folks in, you know, 10, 20 years are learning about the brain and neuroanatomy, they'll learn about the tubular striatum.
That's right.
Interesting. So outside of changing the world of smell, Catherine, what's next? What you going to do? What's your plan?
Yeah, good question. I'm, my postdoc, I have more experience I want to do as a postdoc in this lab, but I'm also envisioning I'm envisioning starting my own lab within the next couple of years where I can continue to study reward circuits, maybe start getting into the projections to the olfactory tubercle or the areas which the olfactory tubercle project to understand circuit specific contributions to drug seeking behavior. I also want to build upon my research looking at the role of brain-derived estrogen in this process and examining sex differences that may underlie drug seeking. But yeah, I want to keep doing research. I'm starting to look at the job market and get a feel for what's out there.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Dr. Wright. I appreciate you explaining all of this great work that you're doing and diving into your past and telling about your future. The last question that I've got for you is, do you have some advice for other people maybe also interested in learning about olfactory tubercle? Did I get it right? I think I've said it wrong almost every time. do you have any advice for other folks who might be interested in your work and think, hey, I want to be just like Dr. Wright?
Yeah, I mean, I would say look for any opportunities to do research as soon as you think you might be interested. There are a lot of really wonderful labs at UF that are involved in addiction neuroscience and research. So get involved early, ask questions, be curious. I guess that's advice that I would give to like maybe an undergrad who's trying to get into research. For graduate students, I would say build your support system and keep them close, because you may have an incredible advisor and you two get along really well, or you might not. You don't know how things are going to work out. But in any case, it's important to have people to talk to, whether it be friends and family or other grad students in your cohort or even in different departments. Other professors can give you some different perspectives. Just talk to people. I think I want to leave it there.
Okay. That's totally great. Thank you so much for joining us today, Catherine. Really appreciate you taking the time. I hope you have a great rest of your day. It's Friday. Let's get out there and get ready for the weekend, I guess.
Yes. Thank you so much, Victor, for having me on. It was really fun.
Of course. We also want to give a thanks to the University of Florida Center for Addiction Research and Education, Dr. Oliver Grundman, Dr. Sarah Jo Nixon, Dr. Joanne Paris, and all of our mentors and future collaborators. Catch you next time.